Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Learn the real story of the world's first atomic mission by ordering your copy of the 509th Remembered. Read for yourself the stories of the men who were there, plus see hundreds of never-before-seen photographs. Just visit warbirdradio.com/deals. That's warbirdradio.com/deals and order your copy of the 509th Remembered today.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Skill Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
It was called the Ultimate Interceptor. An aircraft of such advanced design and promise, it captivated the U.S. Air Force for over a decade. Born from the fertile mind of Alexander Cartvelli, the XF-103 was to be the best and most fantastic interceptor ever conceived. As one of the missing Century Series fighters, the XF-103 represented a quantum leap forward in fighter design. In many ways, it was too advanced. Flight at Mach 3 required new exotic materials and a power plant that had not yet been used on any operational jet aircraft. As an interceptor, the XF-103 was the ultimate expression of an idea that was born during the First World War, high above the streets of London.
Log on now to warbirdradio.com/deals and receive a special offer from our friends at AeroCinema. That's warbirdradio.com/deals.
Now, this is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
Supporting bees, the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you're here with us tonight, Tuesday night, May 15th, 2012. Had to look at the calendar there. If you're listening live, we're glad you're joining us tonight. If you're listening to the podcast, be sure and try and join us one Tuesday night. We'd love for you to participate in the show. Tonight, I wanted to ask our good friend, good personal friend, and great friend of the show, Dino DiGiorgio, back on to the show to talk about Top Gun and give us a little bit of a recap about how it was this year. Welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show, Dino.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing great, pal. I'm glad you could join us tonight. I know you've had a rather busy week this week, so I appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us.
It's been pretty much crazy about a week or so before Top Gun. We're in the middle of relocating, so. And then going to get ready for Top Gun, and then, you know, now I'm packing and moving.
Gotcha. Yeah, moving's always fun, you know.
It's just a joy.
That's right. You know, for the two or three people out there that don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, about your company and what you do, and then we'll talk a little bit about Top Gun.
Well, a little bit about me. I've been involved in model aviation since I was about 6 years old. So I soloed at the age of seven and, you know, progressed through the years and started flying pattern a little bit and then got into giant scale, and warbirds is where my passion is. You know, military, World War II, basically, prop airplanes. And was fortunate to purchase Meister Scale, which is a company that was owned by Jim Meister back in the, started in the early 70s, called Gemco.
Yep.
And now we design and sell and produce World War II, you know, giant scale aircraft.
Super. Well, that's awesome. you know, one of the reasons I brought you on here is you have kind of a unique perspective of Top Gun because you've been there so much and you've kind of seen the things to do and not to do, and And it's always interesting. I look forward to talking to you after each Top Gun to try and, you know, hear your, you know, kind of perspective of how things went. And I know you shared a few things with me about the judging was really tough this year, obviously. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the experience this year and maybe maybe share some of those kind of things with us.
Well, the judging is tough every year. You know, it seems to be a little offbeat. But, you know, I mean, I have no excuses. I guess, obviously, I didn't fly as good as I hoped to. I finished ninth place in Pro-Am Pro with a Meister P-47, but I also entered in unrestricted class with a brand new composite ARFF Corsair that Gary and Brian Prince had built. And, you know, my flying, I generally think that it's it may not be always perfect because nobody's perfect. It's usually, you know, I don't know what to call it. You know, it's usually the same. I mean, I pretty much, it's repetitious, but for this year, for some reason, it just, the scores were way off. And, the judging was a little more, I guess it was a little bit harder on certain guys and certain aircraft versus others. And that's, you know, but, you know, you pick your poison. I mean, you pick your airplane, you know, there's a lot of controversy, a lot of talk about gyros, and, you know, gyros are primarily used in the jets, and you could tell. I mean, they were on rails. You couldn't touch them.
Yeah.
You know, and but either you know, you can't really complain about. Of course, you complain about it, and, you know, but either you know, the guys are like, well, you can use them too. I mean, that's a valid point. I choose not to. I mean, I can honestly say that all my Top Gun victories. the six of them that I have are all with my hands. I don't use any gyros. Not saying they're bad, but, you know, competition, it should be about the piloting. I mean, but, you know, you can't beat a jet that's got, you know, three axis gyros on it. It's just almost impossible.
Right. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point. You know, I know, there's been some talk in the past about wanting to break them out to a separate class. Do you ever see that happening?
I think the answer is yes, because, I mean, there's no, like I said, there's no excuses. I've been competing at Top Gun since 1992 with jets, but, you know, back then, really, there were no good gyros. Not too many guys were using them. At one time they banned them. I mean, you can't, you know, Frank can't go through every airplane at the competition and, you know, disqualify somebody if they have a gyro. I just think that, you know, it definitely does take away the natural ability to show, you know, a normal pilot who's using his thumbs. And, but then again, I mean, you know, we've got computer radios now that do a lot of mixing. I'm still old school. I mean, the only thing I use with a computer radio basically is maybe endpoint adjustment and reverse. I don't use any expo. I don't use any dual rates. I don't use any of that stuff. So I guess I'm still old school.
Well, setting them up correct mechanically is the right way to do it, obviously. But
there's so many models out there, and the jets definitely. You know, they've got a lot more features that you really need to use the computer radios now. It makes it easier for them, not as far as flying-wise. I'm talking about just setting up the radios.
Right.
But, you know, I think that there's going to come a point, and that point may be coming soon, because there was a lot of back talk, you know, behind the scenes of some guys that were upset and really want to see jets in their own category and let them duke it out. And I think that might be not a bad idea, and kind of see what Frank's going to do about it. You know, I mean, I don't know. There was also some talk about mixing expert and masters together because of lack of participation. I mean, you know, Frank's got to, you know, he's got to adapt with Top Gun, just like the industry.
Right.
So We'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Interesting to find out.
Well, you know, it goes without saying that, Frank puts on a fabulous event. Obviously, Top Gun is no different from any of the other ones he puts on that like that. But you know, it's really interesting to see the collection of people at Top Gun that show up to compete from all over the world.
And, all over the world.
Yeah, and you know, it's
even Alabama.
That's right. That's right.
And sorry that we missed you this year. It was nice to see some old faces that haven't been around lately. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe next year, you know. So, but you know, the great part about it is that there's such diversity of talent at a place like that. You know, a mutual friend of ours, Todd Burley, he and I were talking, and he said, I just sat there and listened so much and learned so much, which, first of all, I find it hard to believe that Todd sat there and listened.
Yeah, and he must have not been hanging out at our booth.
I'm just joking, of course, Todd. But anyway, do you ever find yourself, I know you're kind of focused on the competition mostly during that time, but do you ever find yourself just kind of looking around and seeing what other people are doing, what they're building, and some ways they do things? Are you kind of still at that point in flying, or are you kind of just at doing your own thing more or less?
Let me tell you, when I'm at Top Gun, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but I am not paying attention to what anybody else is doing.
Right.
Not that I don't care. I get into a mindset, and some people even come up to me, I don't even remember that I even saw them. I mean, I'm totally focused, especially this year, because I was competing with two different airplanes. One of them was untested, and a lot of people don't know, or they may know, I had to do the test flight at Top Gun of my unrestricted class, because Gary and Brian are from Ohio, and I'm in Florida, and that was when we got to see the first time I saw the airplane was Monday night in the hotel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it goes without saying, anybody who knows about that situation, that you really, I think you really shined in that area, because basically you just took an airplane that you'd never flown, or had never been flown for that matter.
It was never flown, and I never saw it, and there were some obstacles, of course, with any model.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not worried. I mean, the plane is sound. You know, I know the guys who built it. It's, you know, to me, like I said before, every flight is a test flight, because anything can happen at any time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the plane's proven, you know, the engine runs, the radio's good, range tested. I mean, you know, there's so much you can do. You never know what can happen. So.
Right. Well, let me ask you something. You know, this comes up a lot, and I love to ask you this question every time you're on, because I just don't think this information gets out there enough. I know for a fact we've got a couple of people in the chat room right now that are listening to the show that are interested in competition and looking to head in that direction. What advice would you give someone new to competition? You know, what to work on? What should they focus on?
Well, that's going to depend on their personal preference.
Right.
Focusing on, of course, an aircraft that they like. I mean, you know, you want to fly. I've turned down airplanes in the past that they just don't do it for me, like a Stuka. I mean, Graham Mears can come up to me and say, I've got an identical Stuka, and it's in a static 150 because he's awesome, and I won't fly it. You got to have the passion in it and that drive to get you motivated to compete, or even to fly the airplane. So, pick an airplane that you like, and, Top Gun's the Top Gun Pro-Am Amateur is a great place to start in competition, even though it's Top Gun. That's what amateur is there for. That's what Frank wants. He wants, guys, who have never competed, and they want a shot at trying it. So, I would say contact Frank, or myself, and say, hey, I want to do it.
There you go. There you go. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is simple. We'll find a local scale competition through the AMA, mm-hmm. The Academy of Model Aeronautics, and you know, see if you can, maybe there's some qualifiers or some, you know, some low-key scale contests to try before you go to PACON.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, something that that I think a lot of us tend not to do, but I know you're more than willing to do this. Like, if you're coming to, like, a casual fly-in, I know there's many times you'll maiden planes for people and help them get them set up and so forth. And my advice is if you have guys like Dino in your area, I mean, use them. That's that, 99.9% of the time, they want to help you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is ask. If you don't ask, you don't know. I mean, you may get somebody who doesn't want to help because they don't want to take the liability, I mean, or whatnot. But, I mean, ask. I mean, that's cool. I mean,
that's,
you
right.
know, that's why I go to events. I'm there, you know, I'm a part of Team Horizon since 1994, which used to be Team JR. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I'm on the team, is to help guys as best as I can. Of course, I don't have all the answers. I mean, you know, I learn every day as well. So,
yeah,
we'll point you in the right direction.
There you go. There you go. That's right. And, yes, TJ asked in the chat room if Top Gun was invitational, and the answer is yes. But if you have someone like Dino or someone that you've flown with that has competed and knows Frank, or even if you don't know anyone, you can simply just email Frank and tell him you would like to try Pro-Am. Isn't that right, Dino?
Yeah, absolutely. Frank has made it pretty easy. I mean, you know, he'll want to get a little background of you. I mean, mm-hmm. But other than that, just shoot Frank an email and say, hey, I want to try the Pro-Am M and, you know, see how it goes.
There you go. There you go. That's all it takes. Well, so did you take anything away? Did you learn anything this year yourself at Top Gun?
I learned that the unrestricted class is a challenge. because it all depends on, you know, it was new for me to go into a NASCAR type of arena where you have owners, builders, pit crews, you know, yada yada. And while it was challenging, I definitely will screen my future unrestricted classes,
right?
Depending on who I go with, because we came into a really, you know, precarious situation where the owner decided that he literally wanted to pull the plug on the competition after my first round, and left us in a pretty bad spot. I mean, we were pretty much out of the competition. And, you know, I mean, what can I do? Of course I was upset. I mean, you know, I had 100% faith in my team. Whatever problems they were having, but I was there to do a job. And, you know, he decided that that was going to be the end of it. And that didn't really sit well with me. You know, I told him, hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do. It's your airplane. But, you know, these are the reasons why you shouldn't, or you should think about it. And he changed his mind. Well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said to him, but he changed his mind. And at the end of the weekend, he had a smile. We were very close to first.
Yes.
But the ecstatic was 4 points off of the of David Hayes in the Thrush. So, but you know, there's always another year.
That's right. That's right. More airplanes, right? Oh, by the way, I had a couple of people that wanted me to say hello to you while I had you on the air. Our buddy John Rolfe in Australia, and of course my friend Chris Cunningham. He told me to tell you thank you for taking care of him. So speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about Meister Scale and what's going on with Meister these days. I know you got some new stuff working.
Yes, you do.
Do what?
I said, yes, you do know that we got some new stuff.
Yes, 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 yes. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you got in the works, and then I'll jump in there with you when the time comes.
The newest thing that we have in the works, I don't have a release date yet. I don't have costs or pricing, but we are going to produce a one-quarter scale P-47, 122-inch. So it'll be two-quarter scale, fiberglass fuse, built up for Intel, and it will be fiberglass fuse only version. There will be no full wood kit. You know, we'll have plans if the guys want to scratch build it, but we're going to just keep it the glass fuse. The plug was built by my good friend Jeff Knoll. He roughed it out, did an excellent job, and my glass guy Mike Marek is going to tweak it and get it ready to make the molds.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
That's pretty much the newest. Besides of that, the 100-inch Tony is what we're working on. It's AI-60 form. So
right.
You could tell us a little bit about that and how much fun you've been having with it.
Yes, you know, this was pretty much drawn up many years ago, and all I can say is that by having the fiberglass fuselages, you're going to make a rather difficult model a lot easier, and I think that's going to go a long way, you know.
The model that will be a glass fuse built up in Norman.
That's right. And it's coming along good. I'm kind of finishing up the tail section right now, trying to get all those fillets made and get that going. It's just, you know, I've made fiberglass plugs before of parts. I've never made a fiberglass. This is my first fiberglass fuselage plug, and I will go on record as saying that it is 10 times as much work as actually finishing a model.
Yeah, I mean, guys think they just materialized, you know.
No, there's a lot of work involved in that, buddy. I can't tell you how much putty I've sanded off that thing, you know. But it's all fun, you know, it really is. And it's going to be a beautiful model. I'm excited about it because that's one of my favorite airplanes, you know. And so that's going to be a nice model. And that'll make that model, it's available as plans, but it's going to be a lot easier to get that airplane in the air now. And there are definitely some challenges with the plans, but it's not anything, you know, undoable by any means. But we're getting there. It's just slow going, you know. It's kind of like I don't even know how to compare it. It's we're moving forward. It's just we just keep finding little things we have to correct. And I'm working off a good set of four views that I'll send you, by the way, and that the fuselage is based off of. So
everything takes time. We're working on releasing the the Focke-Wulf 190A glass fuse, hopefully at max, Warbird event coming up. Everything takes time, and there's only so much you can do, so many hours you can put into the day.
And, that's right.
You know, we want to do the Corsair. We're thinking about doing a couple different versions of the Corsair. We want to do some tricky things with the standard ME-109. Mm-hmm. Thinking about instead of coming out with a fiberglass fuse for the standard 109 with the, you know, not the platinum version, but thinking about taking the platinum fuselage and doing some work to it and making the standard wing fit that fuse. That way, a guy will have a nicer fuselage outline and still have the use of the flat bottom airfoil.
Gotcha. That's a good idea. That's a real good idea. Yeah, that the Platinum is a really nice airplane, but it is definitely not someone who's just getting started in Warbirds to fly. not a good one to start with.
It's for the experienced model.
That's right.
Doubt about it.
But a beautiful airplane. I mean, cannot say enough good things about that. You know, you got you of course are going to be at Warbirds Over Georgia with us, and we're glad you're going to be able to make that. That's awesome. And once again, you know, if you're going to be at Warbirds Over Georgia, feel free to come up, and I'm sure Dino. It's not out of line for me to say, come up and ask Dino, you know, any questions you may have about your plane or whatever, or if you need help with something. If he's available to do it, I'm sure he'll be happy to do it, right?
Absolutely. Are we going to be test flying your airplane?
Yes, we are. We're one evening we're going to be taking the 219 up on her maiden flight, so she's almost ready. I'm putting the last finishes on the gear doors and got to put a few pieces of radio equipment in it and then touch up the paint. That's it. So.
All right. No good deal. Yeah, I mean, I'll be there. I think that Wayne from Solo Props, Wayne Fussell, is going to go as well. Maybe PJ and Patrick. I'm not really sure. We know Pedro would be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My burrito buddy.
Yeah.
and I want to congratulate him. He was so close. You know, there was a... You know, you live and you learn. I mean, you know, he was upset. He didn't, you know, everybody wants to finish first, but I'm very proud of him for coming in second.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think in the next year, hopefully next year, we can all say welcome to Pro and Pro, because he was just that close to his first place.
Yeah.
And Patrick Ash did a phenomenal job with his new Meister, Bockwell, coming in fourth, so.
Yep. Hey, that you just made me think about something. You're doing a little testing on one of the new Zenoa electronic ignition engines, aren't you?
Yes. I haven't done much because I've been so busy.
Yeah.
But I had a chance to my manager had sent me one of the prototypes, and my thoughts right off the top are awesome. The engine, really, there's a couple of things that I sent them a notice on that I would like to see changed. Whether it happens, I'm not sure. I mean, but that's what they sent it to me for. It was to do some R&D.
Right.
But it starts like a dream. It's on ignition, no more mag. I believe you can still get the mag, but ignition, I don't know what they did. But it runs so smooth. There is hardly no vibration. I installed it on my Meister D9 with a long tail.
Uh-huh.
And at idle through max RPM, of course you could feel it, but there's no heavy vibration. It's very smooth, very easy to start, runs like a dream. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that performs at max. I'm not sure if I'll even get a chance to fly it. Before then, but with the move and whatnot, but I think that is going to be a hit. That is a very, very, very smooth running engine.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you put it on my airplane, because you know I.
Oh, yes, I know your airplane. If mine is yours, and yours is yours.
Hey, that's right. Well, hey, look. Look, I almost got to walk away with that airplane at 12 o'clock high.
You were close. You were close. You had a dollar in a dream. So, but I'm going to let you fly it, but there's no chance that you're going to walk home with it at max. I got to tell you, so don't get your hopes up.
It is an awesome airplane. I have to say that. Looks like we got a caller on the line. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Oh, sorry, we missed him. Sorry about that. They hung up. Call back if you want to. It just takes a few minutes for us to get you into the loop and get you on the air. But call us back if you want to.
Yes,
also, folks, if you have any questions, give us a call, 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio. Or you can email your questions to live@rcscalebuilder.com or simply join the live chat. Dino, we're going to take a little break. Can you stick around for a few minutes and we'll maybe take some questions and maybe a few calls?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, super. Well, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Learn the real story of the world's first atomic mission by ordering your copy of the 509th Remembered. Read for yourself the stories of the men who were there. Plus, see hundreds of never-before-seen photographs. Just visit warbirdradio.com/deals. That's warbirdradio.com/deals and order your copy of the 509th Remembered today.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio. If you're interested in scale models, join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern for interviews and the latest news and events in RC Scale. The RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
It was called the Ultimate Interceptor, an aircraft of such advanced design and promise, it captivated the U.S. Air Force for over a decade. Born from the fertile mind of Alexander Cartvelli, the XF-103 was to be the best and most fantastic interceptor ever conceived. As one of the missing Century Series fighters, the XF-103 represented a quantum leap forward in fighter design. In many ways, it was too advanced. Flight at Mach 3 required new exotic materials and a power plant that had not yet been used on any operational jet aircraft. As an interceptor, the XF-103 was the ultimate expression of an idea that was born during the First World War, high above the streets of London.
Log on now to warbirdradio.com/deals and receive a special offer from our friends at AeroCinema. That's warbirdradio.com/deals.
This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
Supporting bees, the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're on tonight live on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. every week here on Warbird Radio. Tonight we're working, we're talking to our good buddy Dino DiGiorgio. Dino, thanks for coming on the show tonight, man. I really, really appreciate it. You know, we try and get you on here often, but we don't want to burn you out, so I try not to ask you too many times.
Yeah, you're not burning me out. I just feel like you're going to be boring many others. But.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Folks, this is your chance to ask Dino DiGiorgio any questions you may have about competing or modeling, or if you have any questions about Meister products, this is the time to do it. You can either give us a call at 478-787-4768. We'd love to hear from you, or Skype us on Warbird Radio, just all one word on Skype, or shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, or shoot us your question in the live chat. And it looks like we've got a couple of those. Mike Callahan wants to know, he says, when Dino is flying in a contest, does he keep the same flight routine from round to round?
That's a good question, Mike. I mean, typically, yes, because I usually find something that fits the airplane. Now, this year I did some juggling because, with the P-47, Wayne and I, we used landing gear as a mechanical option, and we were getting hammered by the judges because of, things that I couldn't really understand. I mean, a quarter of a point, but, from a 10 to an 8.5 because, there was a little door that wasn't perfect. I have to tell you, that's one of the things that this year it was, like, so critical that everything was – if it wasn't 100% perfect, and real airplanes aren't perfect either, mm-hmm. especially World War II.
Right.
But basically, yeah, I mean, I stick to the same routine unless the conditions, if there's a heavy crosswind or the plane just is not performing well with it. So, yeah, I do change them. Not often, but I will substitute one or two.
Okay. I guess it just kind of see how you're scoring and how it's going, and you make adjustments as you go. Is that right?
Yes, because you only have four rounds, and
right.
You only take three out of your four. So you know, you really only have one shot to make a change, and hopefully it works out. I mean, there's no going back.
Gotcha. Looks like we got a couple other questions here. This is from Jason Ferry. Wants to know, these big name events, does it seem like the pressure is on more, or is it just another flight to you?
No, Jason, the pressure is always on. You know, Top Gun is a big event, and, you know, I try to tune it out, but I know that people are watching, and I just try to do my best. I try to do that wherever I go, regardless of a big name event. But yeah, I mean, you know, Top Gun is very special to me because the most important person who's watching is my father. He passed away 2003 around Top Gun time, and I know he's watching. So for me, there's always that pressure.
Good question. Here's another good one, too. This is from TJ. Wants to know, how do you decide which maneuvers and what order to fly them in beyond the required ones, obviously?
Well, at Top Gun, they give you have to do 10 maneuvers. Five of them are mandatory and five of them are optional that you pick. Or the rule book, or if there's something special or unique that you could tell the judges that was prototypical to that aircraft that you were flying. So, you know, basically you've got your takeoff, your high-speed flyby, your slow-speed flyby, and then you have your realism and landing. So those are your mandatory, and then the optional, you know, can be anything. You have two mechanicals as well that you can put in and use. One of them, landing gear or any other mechanical option. Flaps is not a mechanical option. Sliding canopy is not a mechanical option. Folding wings is not a mechanical option. But what we did this year with the Corsair, which worked pretty neat, a friend of mine, Tom Lamar from Omnionix in Peru, New York, made up some simulated machine guns, which I've used in 1995 Top Gun and also 2000, 2001. And it's called the strafing run. So that is a mechanical option, as long as the airplane has sounds that come out of it.
Gotcha. Got another one here. This one, I don't know who it's from. It says, can you refly a maneuver if you have to make an evasive turn to... hold on, I'm trying to get to it here, to avoid a midair during competition.
Yes. The answer is yes. As long as you tell the judges, I mean, it was a pretty hectic flight line this year. I mean, the guys, I know it's chaotic at times, the flight line guys. I think it's the Palm Beach Aero Modelers Club who does the flight line, and, you know, they do a great job, but it does get very chaotic. And I was, I think it was my second or third round where I got stuck in holding pattern. And the one thing that happened, which I was really not too happy about, was that they had switched the traffic pattern during the competition in the middle of the rounds. So everybody's watching, and I'm like, you know, a couple of judges like, hey, this guy's getting low in fuel. You know, what's going on? I'm waiting to do my touch and go. And, you know, so I waited. I was calm. I did some flying. And all of a sudden, I see Greg Tracy with his Hurricane go one the other direction and then check go the other direction. And I turn around and said to the flight line guy, what's going on? You know, what am I missing here? And, they had, I guess, a World War One guy wanted to switch the pattern, and they switched it, and it got to me late. So,
gotcha. Well, there you go. So yes, you can do that if you have an incident.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Had a question from Glenn. If you noticed any new trends toward aircraft types in military or civilian becoming popular at Top Gun this year?
I can't honestly say that I have or haven't, because, like I said, you know, when the competition's over, I usually go on frankfinciano.com and look at the airplanes, because I'm so focused that I hardly even get to see many of the airplanes. Even when I'm down, I'm still concentrating on my airplane or the planes that I'm flying, and not paying much attention to who's doing what.
Right.
I mean, there were some gorgeous airplanes at Top Gun. You know, Mike Selby and Ray Johns came in second with their AC Theater with the, you know, a dream airplane. And, a new airplane? I said the jets are predominantly, I think out of 30 entries, there were 14 or 15 jet entries.
Well, I bet that was, I think you're breaking up on us a little bit, Dino.
I'm here.
Okay, super. There was another question here. Let me find it here. The guys are just like streaming questions in. I'm trying to pick the really interesting ones, which is good. This is from TJ. What type or model of aircraft do you use to practice as a practice plane during your non-competition flying?
He's asking me what things that I use to practice?
Yeah. That would entail you actually practicing, right?
I mean, I would love to have a practice plane, but I don't have any practice planes. I mean, really, my MU-109 and his D-9, the one that you want, is the only two that I have on at the moment. So I don't have any practice planes. Maybe OPT, other people's planes, is what I've been practicing with.
Well, we call those AMA planes. Ain't my airplane. another great question. TJ's just full of good questions tonight. He wants to know, can you describe how the spotter caller works with you during your flight competition round?
He knows the answer to that because he's a competitor. But I will explain that to the non-competitor guys. I mean, basically, you have your calling card, which is your maneuvers that are written, and your spotter comes up to you and just tells you what your next maneuvers are. Okay, so you start off with the takeoff, and then he'll tell you what the next one is, the next one, all the way down the line, and hopefully also spotting for other aircraft. But I really use my spotter as just a caller. I do most of the spotting myself, and I have been for the last 30-plus years. But there was a case on where I was cleared to land, and it was on my third round, and I was cleared to land, and out of the corner of my eye, what they did was they put these pop-ups for the judges to stay out of the sun, like these tarps or tents or whatever, and I had never noticed them before. And, you know, all of a sudden, you look, and it's like, boom, you don't see the flight line or your airplane. All you see is this tent, so you have to duck down and look over and look around and adapt. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I mean, the judges need to stay cool. I mean, they're out there all day long roasting. But it was coming for a landing. I was cleared. So, you know, when you're told you're cleared to land, you think you're cleared. I'm on final. I turn base. I turn final. And just coming over, as I see the numbers, the first third of the runway, and there's a hawk landing right next to me. Somebody's got some pictures of the tail of the hawk in the Corsair. I had to deviate off of my course and tell the judges, there's an aircraft landing. I need to deviate off of my heading. Usually get downgraded for it. Please take that in consideration. And we landed side by side, but safely apart.
Good deal. We don't want to spend a whole lot more of your time, but I do have one more great question for you here. This is from John G. He wants to know, does Top Gun have the same static judges for all classes?
I can't answer that because I want to say yes, typically they are, and they have been for the years, but they do change depending on location, if the guys can or can't make it. I know Frank does stir things up. So, but Frank would be the one to answer that. You know, you can shoot him an email. He'd love to answer it. But I'm not sure, considering most of the time I'm in Pro-Am, it doesn't get judged by static judges. And but there were, you know, familiar faces at the static booth, as always.
Right. Well, good deal. Well, Dino, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, buddy. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And we love getting you on here. And picking your brain whenever we can.
I love being here, and I'm glad that we got a bunch of questions. That's awesome. Hopefully, we can do it again, and we'll have the
reception. Yeah, and don't forget, guys, if you're going to come to Warbirds Over Georgia, be sure and come up and say hello to Dean, and I'm sure he'll be happy to say hello. And it's such a relaxed atmosphere there that, we can sit around and have a soda or whatever and enjoy the weekend, right?
The sodas come from Max, and the whatevers come from PJ at Warbird Alley.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah, I'm looking forward to those guys coming down, and we'll have a ball. I sure did miss hanging out with you guys this year. So, but we're gonna have some fun at Georgia, and hopefully, do some good flying. So, looking forward to it. But I do hear that Curtis is not going to be there with his big World War One bomber, so you are clear to fly my P-47 if you want to.
Well, that's a bummer.
I know. I told him, I said, he's trying to take you out for Top Gun. He just started laughing. But that was, I'm glad that ended well. And once again, it proves to me your superior flying abilities after seeing the photo of my P-47 cranked 45 degrees sliding sideways. So,
the day that will live in infamy.
Absolutely. Yeah, but you know what? We had a great time at that fly-in, and I really look forward to spending time with you again at the next one. That's, to me, that's the best part of it, you know?
It is the best part. Hopefully everybody comes out and supports the event, and hopefully you get to see some old friends and meet some new ones, so come on out and have a good time.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Dean, and we'll be talking to you soon, buddy.
All right, and you tell that Matt Jolly that he better be careful and those kind of using voicemail messages. I'm going to get embarrassed one day. You watch.
Well, I went on the show with him this morning, and he pretty much dragged me through the mud this morning. So he's got a few people on his case now. So we're going to have to come up with something special for him.
Yeah, we will.
You know, we may have to redirect warbirdradio.com to mailmodels.com or something like that. You know.
Hi,
pal.
We'll see you at Max, and we'll talk to you soon, and take care, everybody.
All right, take care, and tell Kim I said hello.
I will do that.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, folks, that was our good buddy Dino DiGiorgio checking in with us. Always a great opportunity to get him on the show and talk about, Top Gun and competing and stuff. And he's a super nice guy and very approachable. I think the thing that people forget sometimes is if they go to Top Gun as a spectator, they think these guys are stuck up or whatever. Well, you got to remember, this is a very high-level competition, and they're very focused on the competition. You get them at a fly-in, and all these guys are just like some of the nicest fellas you'll ever meet. So I'd encourage you, if you're coming to Warbirds Over Georgia, to make it a point to introduce yourself and spend some time talking to him. He's a great guy. So be sure and try and make it if you can. I believe that's June 7th through the 9th at Matt Hodges' place. Lots of airplanes there, too. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. Couple of quick things to go over. Not really any interesting site stuff going on. I mentioned once before, we're pretty close now. We've been going through the plan set. We have a set of quarter scale P-38 drawings, a full plan set. I mean, there's a lot of sheets. And we're going to release it to site supporters as a free download. So we're going to try and get that up hopefully in the next month or so. We've still got a little bit of work to do on it, but it takes a lot of time to really check everything out, make sure everything's there and label everything properly. But that's coming along. Many thanks to Jason Fair for his donation of that. So, and we'll talk more about that as it comes along. So anyway, couple other quick things coming up, upcoming events. We got Warbirds over East Alabama this weekend in Auburn, Alabama. I'll be at that one. We got the Mint Julep Scale Qualifier in Falls of Rough, Kentucky. That's happening this weekend also. Warbirds over Georgia in Andersonville, Georgia, June 7th through the 9th. That's kind of the, I'd say probably the largest warbird flying in the Southeast. So if you're, if you want to come see a lot of pretty airplanes, that's one to come to. And our recommended site this week is going to be the Warbird Radio Facebook page. So be sure and check them out at facebook.com/warbirdradio and like them. And Matt's good about always checking out cool stuff and posting it on the Facebook page. So look for the latest and greatest stuff going on in Warbirds there. Mr. Jolly, are you back with us now? I guess he's not. Oh, well.
I am here. It just takes a while. I had the had the monitors up. So, yeah, what's going on?
Well, I just wanted to see if you had anything to add. What's going up programming-wise this week on Warbird Radio?
No, we still have some good stuff coming up. We have the continuation of the Stackler Brothers story. We're still working on it, but should have that finished up here tomorrow. And it'll hit the air Thursday, but good stuff. You know, Thursday's kind of the programming day for the weekend stuff, so we put all the new stuff up Thursday morning, and Stackler Brothers is going to be up with their continuing. You know, this is the story we did where we surprised them with the flight, and we took two World War II brothers who flew P-47s and B-25s, and we surprised them with a flight in both a fighter. We couldn't get a P-47, but we got a P-51 and a B-25 and flew them. So it was a lot of fun. On the same flight, and we threw up a Corsair and a Zero and a P-40, by the way, and had a great time, all thanks, of course, to our friends at the Texas Flying Legends Museum. So if you want to hear the story, that's going to be up this week. And then what else? Andrews Air Force Base will be doing a live broadcast from the air show at Andrews on Friday. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we have some fun stuff on Warbird Radio Live. I don't want to leave that out, but what we're doing tomorrow is the ISAP Symposium, which is an aviation photographer's symposium that's going on down in Norfolk, and we've got that coming on tomorrow. So, some fun stuff. Tomorrow is going to be a fun show, so if you're a photographer, tune in tomorrow. Going to enjoy it.
Sounds good. You know, it's amazing to me how you continue to find great programming on this station.
And, you know, we were talking about it this morning. I think people thought I was kidding, but Chris Henry from the Warbird Rescue Out really is going to have Lou Gossett Jr. on.
Yeah. What was his name? What was his character's name? Chappie
Sinclair.
Yeah, don't forget. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know how that happened, but I'm still in the dark on that. But Chris evidently has him coming on. So, yeah, for all you Iron Eagle fans, tune in. And supposedly he's friends with the Tuskegee Airmen he's going to bring on with him.
Is that right?
So it's going to be a legit show, I think. Yeah. It's going to be pretty neat. So.
Well, that's cool. Well, you know, I still... cherish the show where I got to come on and co-host with Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, well,
that was awesome.
Man, have we had some fun shows on here?
Yep, absolutely.
We had Larry Wilcox come on. Matthew Modine has been our best known guy from Memphis Belle and so many others. Full Metal Jacket. So
absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. So, you guys.
I don't want to leave out Dino DiGiorgio either. From Top
Gun. You know, I want to tell you something. I'm going to go on record and say this right now. I said this morning. I'll say it again tonight. I truly believe that he is the best pilot I've ever met or ever will meet.
Hmm.
I mean, I really do believe that because he has a unique ability to pick up any airplane and fly it like he's been flying it for years. And it's just disgusting. he's so talented. He really is. So, but he's a great resource, guys. And if you're ever at an event with him, by all means, spend some time with him. He's a great guy to get to know. And, if you need anything, Aero Accessories, they carry a lot of things for RC. And of course, they're a supporting vendor on RC Skill Builder, so be sure and check him out there too. He's involved with that. I guess that's going to wrap it up, buddy.
Well, all right. It's up to you, Mike. Your show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're good to go.
You tell me what you want to do.
I think I would like to. You go mix me up another cocktail place. No, I'm just joking.
Goodness. All right. I'll play your music then.
Well, that's good. Okay, folks, that's going to wrap up another great episode of the RC Skill Builder Show. I'm glad you were able to listen tonight. Once again, if you're listening to the podcast, be sure and try and join us one Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd love to have you. We'll be back next week with another great show, so be sure and tune in. In the meantime, be sure and stay here and listen to Warbird Radio for more great programming. And be sure and check us out on rcskillbuilder.com. It's all good, and, you know, be sure and take some time this week and find a little time for yourself in the shop and enjoy life a little bit, because remember, it's way too short. So until next time, we'll talk to you later. And remember to measure twice and cut once. Good night.